God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is based off of our epistle reading from Hebrews chapter 10, as the author of the Hebrews quotes from Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. This is our text. It begs the question here. If our Lord is sitting on his throne and he has a footstool, and the footstool is our Lord's enemies, when did God get enemies? And what is this all about? Can anyone ever really threaten God? Usually when we think of enemies, we think of someone who's going to threaten us, someone who's going to hurt us, someone who's going to take something away from us. Can anyone really hurt the Almighty God? If someone could, then maybe he's not so almighty. Can anyone ever, quote, take God down? The answer to this is no. God is almighty. He is all-knowing. He knows all things. So why would he have any enemies? Well, I really can't answer the question why, but I can answer the question who. Who is the enemy of God? We describe the enemy of God, that of being sin, death, and the devil. Sin, which is that disobedience against God, all attributed to the devil and his angels. As they rebelled against God, there was a mighty war in heaven, as Revelation reminds us. And that was the reason why Christ was sent. You see, after this great rebellion, the great tempter brought sin to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve fell into sin, and because they fell into sin, all of God's creation is now corrupt. All of humanity is now part of that sin. And because all of humanity is part of that sin, we, as being human beings, start out as enemies of God. Now, God's sort of in a quandary here. The reason why is God loves his creation. Now, anyone who's a parent knows this very, very well. A parent would rather be attacked than watch their little ones ever be attacked. Fair enough. I also have a couple daughters, and I would rather have the pain inflicted upon me than watch my little ones be struck by that pain. In one essence, I can make a little same parallel here with God. God would rather have that pain being struck to him than watch his creation, people like you and me and all people throughout the world, be struck by sin, which would then make us an enemy of God for eternity. See, because of sin, we are destined to be that footstool that will be placed under our Lord and Savior's feet. However, God doesn't want us to be that footstool. He loves and he cherishes us. So he's the one, like any good parent, that will take on that pain, that will take on that suffering. And it's that parental love, that creator love for you and me and for all people that drove Christ to the cross. And it was there where God's wrath for sin was now appeased. It was there where forgiveness and restoration for sin of the whole world is now taking place. Now the question comes in. Do we understand, as Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Paul very clearly points out to the Romans and for us that while we were enemies, while we were outside of God's grace, he sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could be reconciled and we are saved by this gift of faith. So when a child is born, you know, the family usually gathers around. What a cute, adorable child, and fair enough. But we need to realize, before baptism, that child is considered an enemy. Not that the child did anything. Not that the child robbed any bank or said any bad words. Not that the child killed anybody. But that sinful nature is within the child. And because the sinful nature is within the child, that sinful nature makes that child an enemy of God. Does God have an enemy? He does. Sin, death, and the devil. That's the enemy. But thanks be to God, who comes and takes on human flesh and blood, who goes to the cross, who defeats sin, death, and the devil, so that all who look to him for that promised salvation have the gift of eternal life. Those that cling on to the promises of God have that love and have that forgiveness. Now for today, we need to apply this a certain way also for us in our lives. The reason why is because we still struggle with sin. Within us, there's that sinful nature that still wells up within us. And because of that, we, in one essence, need to fight this enemy each and every day. Now please notice where I'm calling the center of locus, so to speak, that center of where the fighting needs to take place. That is within us. We are the ones who sin. We are the ones who are falling short of God's glory. Let me put it this way. No one in this whole world, out of all the human beings throughout scattered around the globe, can take away the faith that is given to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No one can. Sure, they can kill me, but they don't take away my faith. That faith can only be given up from within. So I'm asking myself, where's the greatest battle in the world? Who can take me from eternal life with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? No one outside, but me inside. I can force God's grace out. I can do that by my stubbornness, by my hate, by my fear of things outside of myself. See, that's how Satan works. He tries to get me to think that the enemy is out there. And then I need to realize, and then I fail to realize when I start thinking that the enemy is out there, that the real enemy is here. And then he can grow and he can fester within me. No, Christ needs to remind us today that real enemy is sin, death, and the devil. And our sinful nature is sort of in connection with this enemy. And that's where the spiritual fight is all about. So whenever you hear about the spiritual battle and the spiritual warfare, like that last hymn that we just got through singing, "O little flock, fear not the foe," talking about the church militant, the spiritual warfare that's going on, it has nothing to do with about countries or people out there. The struggle is all in here. This is where Satan has his battleground, is within us. Colossians reminds us in chapter 1, verse 21, "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." Paul doesn't mince words here. He very clearly reminds us of our sinful nature. Once we were doing those things, but now you are in Christ. Now you have that salvation. Once you were that footstool for our Lord and Savior's feet, so to speak. Now you are sons and daughters. Now you are destined for eternal life and salvation. Now we can say, "Come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly." The battle is not outside of us, but within us. Does God have an enemy? Yes, he does. The one who tries to destroy God's creation. The one who tries to distract me in my Christian faith. The one who tries to focus my attention outside of me. Jesus has some very interesting words for us about this struggle, because the struggle takes place in strange places. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, "And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Is sometimes the struggle of our sinful nature going to come outside of us to other people we interact with? Yes, it will. Jesus names it. But for the gospel's sake, he's saying, stay attached to him. That struggle is indeed a great struggle. And it's one that we cannot win. Every day we have to fight the temptation of the evil one. And every day we sin. Even I, as your pastor, I am a sinner. I've sinned many times. And I fall short of God's glory many times. And God does not leave us without hope nor strength, because he knows this is a battle that we can't win. We can't even really fight. He is the one who fights this battle. And how does he give us that strength? And how does he help us fight this battle on a daily basis? He gives us his own word and sacraments. He knows how hard it is to defeat Satan. He knows what it cost him, his life on the cross. He remembers the temptation in the wilderness. He knows what we are going through because he also took on flesh and blood. That's why he's not going to leave us alone in this fight. But he gives us his word and sacrament to strengthen us so that every day we can remind ourselves why we need to be baptized. Every day we need to remind ourselves why we need God's grace. Every day we need, in one essence, the reminder of that battle within us. And so the end of our text very correctly reminds us as Christians, don't give up meeting together. And this doesn't mean going to McDonald's or meeting in a theater or going out to a movie. But the meeting together meant gathering around here, word and sacrament, because this is where our strength comes from. God indeed does have an enemy. Sin, death, and the devil is that enemy. The one that can destroy God's most precious creation, you, me, and all people. The one that can take God's beautiful creation and send it to the depths of hell. That is the face of the enemy. That is the enemy we face each and every day of our lives. But we do it knowing that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the one who defeated sin, death, and the devil. So in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our agony, in the midst of the emotional turmoil and struggles of this world, we look to the cross of Jesus and say, there is my victory. There is my strength. My strength comes from the Lord, who gives me victory over sin, death, and the devil. So this day we do give our great praise and thanks to God. In the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our spiritual warfare, in the midst of this fight for clinging on for eternity, our Savior is doing the battle work. He is the one who has defeated sin, death, and the devil. And because of his victory over the cross, he can encourage you throughout any battle that you're currently facing, throughout any turmoil. He is the one who gives you the strength each and every day. So when it seems like the world is getting the best of you, return to the cross. Return to where God's word and sacraments are for your healing and for your strength. The victory is ours. So we only have to say, come, Lord Jesus. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.